Praise God. He's not very quiet looking. Make me nervous. But prayer there, we're just looking at prayer. Prayer is just more than communion with God. God calls us into the heavenly realms to battle. And God's word says we're to resist the devil. And that's what we do in prayer too. We stand firm, we guard our ground, and we guard our house. But this morning, when I was putting this word, the Spirit of God really impressed on my heart, you know, to make this sure that this word didn't bring his people into condemnation. Because you can go two ways with this. And he really wasn't just touching my heart with the tremendous love that God has for his people. And I just want to kick off in John 2 and verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple. Both sheep and cattle, he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" And Matthew's Gospel, verses 21 to 13, it says, he brings it out forward, he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." And it says, John 2, verse 17, his disciples remember that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me. Zeal for your house will consume me." And that's in Psalm 69 and verses 8 to 9. I am a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you will fall on me. And this is God's house. And Jesus came to God's house, and what he's seen in it grieved his heart, and it made him angry with a righteous anger. And it says he made a whip and he drove out of God's house those who were profaning God's house, those who were turning God's house into a market. And he said, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And what I'm just going to do now, I'm going to pray now, because this is God's house. I'm going to pray, and I feel God has put this on my heart. And Paul Martin, he came to me earlier on and said that God really put on his heart that that the devil was at work with lies and so forth. And we're going to take charge of our ground. We're going to take charge of our house, because we have the authority to do that in Jesus Christ. And Father, we come before you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rebuke everything, O God, that opposes or tries to hinder the work of your Holy Spirit among us this day, O God. Father, we reject every lie of the enemy. We reject fear, O God. We reject unbelief, O God. Father, we rejected your house in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Father, we release your word. We release it, O God, your living word, your active word, O God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Father, we release your freedom now, O God. We release it, O God. We release it in the name of Jesus Christ, that your spirit will be free, O God, that hearts will be free, that your people will be free to receive from you today, O God. In Jesus Christ's mighty holy name. When we come to this time, this was an incredible time, because the old ways, the temple, the old sacrifices were now coming to an end. Because that which they spoke of, that which they said was to come, had come, Jesus Christ. And he had come. And he had a temple that was built by the hands of men, and that was over now. that temple was over. That temple was going to go. And I want to bring us on that journey. And just before I do that, I want to read out again. I want us to get this into our hearts. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 to 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, that's me and you, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we reflect what Moses had to put a veil over his face. But we reflect with unveiled faces the glory of Jesus Christ. And God's word brings that out to us, why we do that. And it says we're ever increasing glory. As we go deeper with God, right? The glory, the Spirit of God is bringing out the glory of, do we reflect his glory? And that is a tremendous, incredible statement from the word of God. That we reflect the glory of Jesus Christ, of God's Son, of the Spirit of God in us. And that goes for us all. And it says we have been transformed. It's not a self-effort. It's not something that you do. It's the Spirit of God in you, working in you, active within you. The Word of God alive in you. And so, we come to the old temple. But the old temple was gone. Now we're coming to the new temple. And in Psalm 27 and verse 4, it says, the psalmist says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That was the old, the psalmist. But this is a tremendous truth. Because the new temple that we dwell in is you and me. In the new temple, it says, John 2 and verse 18. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? And that's when he drove them out of the temple. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. And they thought he was mad. Now the new temple, Christ's exalted body, will become the focus of true worship for those who receive the Spirit of God. Because the new temple of God, and we need to get a hold of this. We need to let the truths of God's word grip us. We need to get into the reality of them. We need to know when we come here, when we gather here, an incredible thing takes place. Incredible. It's just awesome when you get in and you think about it. Because it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and raises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. God is not living. This is a building. God doesn't dwell in buildings made by man. God declares to us that his temple, his holy temple, his dwelling place is us. It's me and you. We are the temple of God. That's incredible. And it says, as you, 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone, and that's the cornerstone, rejected by man, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, have been built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It says, you also, like living stones, have been built into a spiritual house. And God's word actually says that we are the priesthood of God. And it brings out these tremendous truths, the temple of God. And we are the priest of God within that temple. And we offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. Now, it's important that we understand when we say sacrifices, what do we mean by that? Because there's only one sacrifice for sin. And that was the life of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when it talks about spiritual sacrifices, there's a number of them. But one of the things is the prayers. We praise God. We come into the holy temple of God. And we've done earlier on, we lifted up the name of Jesus Christ. And we worship him because he is the temple of the living God. It's in Christ. We dwell in Christ. Christ is in us. God, Christ is in the Father, and the Father is in God. The Father is in Jesus. Now it says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? They're tremendous statements. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Now when I read earlier on in John's Gospel, it says, zeal for your house will consume me. And Jesus wasn't zealous for the bricks and the mortar of the temple. They were just bricks that were going to be gone, going to be destroyed by the Romans. When Jesus said, zeal for your house consumes me, we are God's house. And Jesus is consumed with zeal, with love, with compassion, with care for you and me. He says that zeal, his heart, he was zealous, he loves us, he cares about us, he's tremendously concerned about every aspect of our lives. And then in Romans 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we see one of the ways we can offer to God is our bodies. Now, I believe what it means by that is our lives, is our heart, is all who we are. We offer to God. This is just a tent, right? And it'll rot and go away wherever. This is not me. The outward is not me. It's what's inside that's me. And what God wants is for my life to be offered to him, for your life to be offered to him. And God wants our hearts. He wants our lives. He wants all who we are because he's zealous in his love for each one of us. And the tremendous thing I hope Nader says about we return back to Eden when Adam fell. But I think we're in even a greater place than Adam. Because it says of Adam, God came to fellowship with him in the cool of the day. But God dwells with us under the new covenant permanently. Tremendous, incredible truth that such is the intimacy and relationship that God wants to have with us, that he dwells with us. He becomes nearly one with us. He dwells with us by his Spirit. And his Spirit is active within us. And the Spirit is seeking that we reflect the glory of God, that we go into the deeper waters of God, that we go from one degree of glory to another. And a sense of Jesus Christ, he is the author and the perfecter of that. It's not down to us. We'd fail. We don't have the means yet to bring these things about. But God's Spirit and Jesus and the blood of Jesus and the new covenant provides all what we need for godliness. God has left nothing to chance. God has met all our needs so that we can walk with him, we can fellowship with him. And our salvation in God is secure in Jesus Christ. And the devil has lost that war. He's lost that war. He cannot. Jesus has overcome death. And death has no hold upon us. Death has no hold upon us. The devil has lost a war for our salvation. That's hugely important we remember that. Christ has settled that issue with the forces of darkness. And the forces of darkness are defeated. And the devil is defeated when it comes to us in Jesus Christ. Death has no hold upon us. Now it says in John 6 and verse 63, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. In fact, it says in the word of God that the flesh is our enemy and it wars against us and it wars against what the spirit of God wants to do in us. But the flesh counts for nothing. And the tremendous thing about all this is Jesus Christ has won for us, has provided. He will bring us through. When the devil comes and seeks to persecute us, when the devil comes and seeks to oppress us, when the devil comes with his lies, his deceit, Christ will bring us through. And you know that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, I know the amazing grace of God. Because I've been in situations where I thought, wherever God, the devil, the oppression, and Christ came through every time. Bar none. Bar none. When my heart cried out to him, in the midst of despair, oppression, you name it, Christ always came true. And in my heart is a tremendous confidence. Because Paul could say, I am confident of this. And this is not just words. This is I came to this true experience. I am confident of this, that Christ will never leave me nor forsake me. That when I feel I'm in the prison, the devil has got me there, oppressed me, wherever, for a time, I know Christ's going to come and get me out. Praise his holy name. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, it says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. We all are members of God's body, and Christ is the head. All of us who are in Jesus Christ have the one spirit, and God doesn't show favoritism. God's love is a perfect love. And it's the same love for each one of us, which is incredible. There's no depth to it. So if you get all of it, there's still all of it left. Do you know what I'm trying to say? So you needn't worry about if God gives me all, God has for us all. And we're all one body, and we must remember that. We must look out for each other. We must care for each other. And we mustn't slander each other, talk about each other. There's one thing I do in my Christian life. I do this all the time. And this is a standard I stand on and I walk by. You are God's people. You are the people of the blood. And whenever I see, which is in my own life, false or whatever, you are still the people of the blood. I bring no charge against you. I bring no accusation against you. I speak the truth in love if it needs to be said, but it's in love. And I treat all God's people like that. That the people of the blood, and I honor them, and I bless them, and I pray for them. And I won't do the devil's work in getting in and bringing condemnation or speaking against them or pulling them down. Desperate thing to do. Never do that. But never do that. Be a blesser of God's people. And when you speak of them, speak well of them. And none of us are perfect. None of us. If you really knew me, I get worried sometimes. People see a certain view of us, don't they? You see me here on a Sunday. But sometimes I genuinely feel I wish they could see me at other times. Because you get frightened, you know, sometimes people put you on a pedestal. That's not the real you. I'm not holy. I need God's grace the same as you need God's grace. And I battle, you know, the same as you battle. We're all in the boat together. We're all in the one body. And we all have one head, Jesus Christ, who is passionately and zealously concerned about each one of us. But this is where I want to come to, because it talks about the corporate body of Jesus Christ, which is the temple of God. But then it says, you are the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Lord. And what we've got to do is, as in the old temple, things can get in into our lives. Things can get into the temple that shouldn't be there. And sometimes that the devil is able to get in with his lies, his condemnation, and he's in the temple of the Lord, which is your body, your mind, wherever. And stuff comes into our lives that shouldn't be there. Shouldn't be there. But I tell you this, is crucially important. Jesus came with a whip. He made a whip and he drove out. He doesn't come to you with a whip. No way, absolutely no way does he come to us with a whip. The devil convicts into condemnation. The Spirit of God convicts into grace. Totally and utterly opposite. He brings us into the grace of God, which is the place of love. Place of forgiveness. It's the place where God wants to deal with our lives. God wants to take stuff out of our lives that shouldn't be there. And when we looked in Lamentations 3 and verse 40, it said, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. And 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Now it says, since we have these promises, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit. And we can be contaminated by sin. This temple of the Lord can become contaminated. Now, how do I deal with that when that happens? If the devil gets through one of his fiery arrows and it pierces me, and the poison of that is entering into my bloodstream, my spiritual bloodstream, what do? I go to the antidote immediately, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I get that in very quickly because I know this poison is traveling. And I know the damage it can do and I know the corruption it can bring. And I say, Lord, get the blood in. Get back to the blood as quick as you can. And don't remain. What the devil tries to do is keep you on the ground of condemnation. His vice is there. Get off it. If it takes you, get off it immediately. Wherever, get back to the cross, get back to the blood, get back to the antidote of that poison traveling through your system. And say, Lord, cleanse me. Wash me clean. Purify me, Lord. And God is faithful and he's just to do that. And he says he does that. Now in Ephesians 4:29. To 32, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, unwholesome talk, sometimes we can trivialize that. Unwholesome talk is pulling each other down. Unwholesome talk is talk that doesn't build people up, doesn't bless people, doesn't honor God. And that can be a wide arc. Right, and we got it, and it's our responsibility to watch how we talk. And you know, the devil doesn't have much power there as such. That we're in control of that. We can choose whether we're going to bless or not bless people. We can choose whether we're going to talk about people or not talk about people. It's a choice we make. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now that's, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He's bringing all this in this context. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve God. We grieve the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is in every one of us who are in Jesus Christ. So if I'm speaking against you, I'm grieving the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God within me is grieved. We shouldn't do that. Now it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So it says, get rid. And that's what you can do, not in your own strength. It says, get rid of all the rage, the bitterness, the malice, brawling, slander, and every form of malice. And that's down to us going before the cross of Jesus Christ and letting the Holy Spirit do the work he needs to do, which is cleanse us from these things. And you could have a rage over a rage can come. You can, you know, there can be a rage and an anger over stuff of the past. And that can be a deep rage and a deep anger. But believe you me, this is the principle, and I'm not going to hold back on this, because this is the truth. You forgive, because when you forgive, you defeat the enemy. And God's word brings that out exceptionally strongly. You must forgive, because it's part of the battle of defeating the evil one in your life. So you come and you forgive, and God will help you in that. And if there's hurts and there's pain in that, God will heal you of these things. Jesus says, I have come to set you free. I have come to heal you. So it's not that God is just pushing you into a pot and saying, you must forgive. God's saying, you must forgive to be free. And anything that has hurt or got in, I will heal you of it. So he comes with the whole package. He comes, he knows how to heal us. He's not asking us just to bite our lips and just say, I forgive someone, and it's the first thing. God said, do it, because it's important you do it. Because when you don't do it, you greatly hinder what the Holy Spirit wants to do in the area of healing and of setting you free. It must come. You must forgive. So the Spirit of God is set free to heal you, to restore you, and to do all what he needs to do. Now it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate. Let us be kind and compassionate one to the other. Let us, when we talk to each other, let it be, that's probably the, when we talk to each other, let it be talk that will build each other up and build other people up. Now, I'm going to ask you, and this is where I'm going to wrap her up now. What I'm going to ask you is this. Is the stuff in your temple that you know God needs to take out, that needs to go? And if it is, Jesus will take it out. He's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the author, the perfecter of it. He will come and take it out. He's not coming with a whip. He's coming with compassion. He's coming with love. And the reason why he wants these out of your temple, which is your life, is because they greatly hinder your freedom in Jesus Christ. And it says, John 8 and verse 32, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is in Jesus Christ. And it says in John 8, 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. God sets us free. Jesus sets us free. It's not something that God's asking us to do. God's saying the Son will set you free. The truth that's in my Son, Jesus Christ, will set you free. And so as we come to the Lord, right? Romans 3, 22 and 25. This is the ground that we come to God on. Tremendously precious ground, which is the Word of God. We don't have to be afraid of God, who is our Father, because He has laid a way out that we come to Him. And that way that we come is written in love. It's written in sacrificial love. It's written in compassionate love. It's written in merciful love. God has made that way, and that way was the way of love. Tremendous way. And when we come walking on that road, it's a road of blessing and of mercy. We never need to fear that as we move into the presence of God that we are going to be condemned. We are not, because our sins have been paid for. Romans 3, 22 to 25. This righteousness, we are righteous in Jesus Christ from God, comes through faith. You have to believe God's word. You have to believe what Jesus Christ has done. You have to step into that truth and believe it and accept it. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. No one is excluded. There is no difference for all. There is no difference for all have sinned. There's no one righteous. I can come and say, I'm better than you. When I come to God, I come the same as us all, a sinner, saved by grace. Now I'm a son of God now, a saint in God. And fall short of the glory of God. And are justified. Listen to this. And are justified freely. You're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement. Beautiful word, isn't it? Atonement. I love it. But freely by His grace. And we are justified freely by His grace. 1 Corinthians, this is, I find this always gives me tremendous, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30. And this, I find this tremendous truth, incredible truth. It's because of Him that you were in Christ Jesus, that who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Isn't that incredible? The wisdom of God has made us in Jesus Christ righteous, holy, and redeemed. Tremendous. When we stand before God in Jesus Christ, that's who we are. Sons of God, holy and righteous because of the blood that was shed. Because the blood is powerful and effective. It achieved incredible things, which the Word of God brings out. Achieved an amazing things. And we are the temple of God. The temple of God is now here, because you are the living stones that make up that temple. And God dwells within His temple by His Holy Spirit, and He dwells within you. We make up the temple of God. And so what I would ask us, I'm going to end now. I'm just going to ask Keith if he just come back up, and I just want him to drum softly. And this is up to yourself, but I believe in faith. I believe in taking a step of faith, right? Faith is always active. And what the devil comes at times, what the devil says is, keep where you are. Fear enters in. What if, what if, what if? What if this parent's looking at me? What if that parent? What if? Forget about all that. You lock yourself in with God. I want us to do then as we pray, if you feel the stuff in your life, in the temple of the living God who you are, who you make up, that you need taken out, I would ask you just to come forward. And I'm not going to, nothing I'm going to do, because I can't do it. Jesus Christ is going to do it, because he promised that he would do it. And Christ is going to do it. And what I want to do is, if you come forward and just bow before the cross and just hand it over, say, Lord, come in. Come in, Lord. Take out of this temple all that hinders you, Lord. All that is offensive to you, Lord. Take it out, Lord, so that your Holy Spirit may have freedom. And I may come in to the freedom that you have promised me. And God has said to us, whom the Son set free will be free indeed. And that's what I felt God's put on my heart. Jesus wants you to be free. He wants me to be free. And he knows how to bring us into freedom. But he needs us to respond to him. And if you feel you can't, do it in where you're sitting. But it's good if you just take the step of faith and say, Lord, bring me into freedom. Cleanse this temple, Lord, by your precious blood. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, dwell within me richly.